The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is for the God-fearing from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is filled with strength, scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped Israel, the Lord's servant, in remembrance of mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah and their descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today, we celebrate the feast of Mary, the mother of our Lord. And so this morning, Mary sings of the unsettling, upending, unending faithfulness of God, past, present, and future. Mary sings, "My soul, with every fiber of my being, radiates with God's promise. And even as I was too little to be noticed by anyone, God saw me and smiled. Me, poor, a woman, barely more than a child. And from now on, all children will remember me and sing my song as if it were their own. The poor and the otherwise invisible are now the apples of God's eyes. From now on, mercy will be flowing to the vulnerable, and God is pulling the plug on pride, the pride of the toxically self-centered in every generation. The ancient legacy, God's promise of unconditional faithfulness made to our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah, and to their descendants forever and ever, is now renewed in me, made bright in my body, magnified." Mary's song is memorable. Chiefly because two generations later, the writer of the Gospel according to Luke printed a version of Mary's song. And ever since, right up until this day and hour, Mary's song, the Magnificat, is being translated and sung from every corner of the world, wherever the crucified and risen infant Jesus is praised. according to Luke, in a town called Galilee, an angel named Gabriel appeared out of nowhere and said, "Fear not, God likes you." More than that, God sees promise in you. So, you will become pregnant, have a baby, and name the baby Jesus. To which Mary responds, "This is crazy. I do not know the first thing about being pregnant. I do not know, by which I mean I have not known in the biblical sense of that term. I have no knowledge of any potential sperm donor." "No worry," says the angel, "for there is never any shame in lack of knowledge. We are all beginners when it comes to embodying God's grace and making the impossible possible is the Holy Spirit's specialty." To which Mary responds, "Okay." Or as Luke casts Mary's words in the gospel, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word," which is just fancy Bible fancy language for okay. But okay is hardly the stuff for immortalization on stained glass windows or extended arias and choruses in Bach cantatas, which on the one hand is sad, because with every aesthetic embellishment and theological elevation of Mary's angel encounter, the more Mary's experience ascends beyond the reach of mere mortals, like you and me. People like us, for whom, okay, may be the most radical affirmation that we are equipped to make. So let's not lose sight of how Mary claims her own inadequacies and unpreparedness. Let us open the ears of our hearts so that we can hear in her song God's song, God's call to the radically unprepared in every generation. Mary moments are not so very rare. Ask yourself, have I ever been called to take a step into something totally unfamiliar? Have I ever entered a space in which I realize that for this, whatever this is, I lack any shred of competence? And in moments like that, what makes the difference? Maybe it's the presence of others whose wisdom and experience have cheered you on. And then there are those family stories, the stories of ancestors who persevered, and the explicit or implicit assurance that there is a higher, lower, everywhere, unbounded power loving us into courage, giving us wings, and scattering a few pillows for when we inevitably stumble. The first date with a stranger who later becomes your life partner. An invitation to play a game you have never tried before. The first time someone invited you to eat a lobster. The first time you entered an unfamiliar church and a stranger handed you a sheaf of papers and pointed towards pews. Anytime you found yourself in a previously unimaginable but strangely promising situation that prompts a voice within you to say, "Is this crazy?" Yeah. Unexpected? Certainly. Impossible? Probably. But okay. Merry moments also happen to whole communities, to churches, as well as to individuals. In fact, you could say that the history of our church, the history of UNILU, is a string of merry moments, which we could actually miss if we only rely on the version of events that wind up in print in places like the Ink Spot or Hornucopia or the official Lutheran magazines, all of which are generally sanitized and sanctified stories that omit all utterances of, "You have got to be kidding. Really? Here? Us? Holy bleep." But finally, okay. Call women to ordained ministry. Affirm the calls of LGBTQAI humans to every vocation, including marriage and ordained ministry. Open a shelter for unhoused neighbors in the Coffee Fellowship Hall. Become a home for an undocumented mother and her two very young daughters. Okay. And now we find ourselves on the threshold of another life-changing merry moment. It begins with making friends with new Harvard Square neighbors, including Damon Hughes, who is the future operations manager for the new Black-owned business that will open at the corner of Winthrop and JFK. And in this merry moment, the role of the angel Gabriel is played by Damon, who writes me an email. An email that begins, "Hey, Kathleen." Suppose the angel actually said, "Hey, Mary," instead of "Hail." "Hey, Kathleen. The son of an old friend of mine is looking for a place for his dance studio. And UNILU is looking for community partners, right?" "Yeah, okay, this dance operation is called Floor Lords. Great, I see. Okay. Huh? What? Name of the group again? Floorboards? No, answers the angel Damon. Floor Lords. Okay. 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 And then I began to Google. Floor Lords, as in lords of the floor, break dancing to hip hop. And immediately I am out of my depth. Okay. Okay. We meet. I meet Alex Diaz. He comes here and we begin to walk through this building, and I'm watching as Alex's eyes grow wide and wider, and I see the energy that's flowing in his body as he's describing a vision. His vision that he is now seeing in here, in our church. And especially in our alumni room. Alex is seeing young bodies aged 5 to 35 spinning on their hands, on their feet, on their knees, on their bums, on their heads, spinning to a beat from floor to ceiling and ceiling to floor. And he's talking about, yes, we begin with dancing. But then there's art to be made, and there's music to be composed, and there's DJing to be taught. And he talks about a legacy of 40 years when Floor Lords was started by his uncle, Lino Delgado, who became in that neighborhood in Boston a figure held in deep respect and love for the way he helped youth in the community, as Alex put it, stay out of trouble by using their gifts. A space created by Uncle Lino that was safe and free and freeing. Now, as if reading my mind at one point, Alex looks at me very seriously and says, Pastor Kathleen, we only break dance to hip hop with a positive message. You must understand, my mother is a very Christian woman. Alex Diaz, also known as El Nino, he's an international phenom in the breakdancing world, has been for many years. I've asked him, though, Alex, are you still dancing and competing? He says, no. I'm 34. There's only so long you can spin on your head. Alex, in his day job, teaches in the Boston City school system, classes in movement, movements to help students experience freedom in their bodies that can unlock greater freedom in their minds. And as he's spinning his vision, casting it from floor to ceiling, he talks about what's going to be the next big thing in 2024 in Paris. Breakdancing will be an Olympic event, and Alex knows he has Olympians in his crew. Okay. I mean, who would have thunk it? Lutherans, Harvard Square, hip hop, Olympics. Okay. First the angel Damon, then a visitation by Alex Diaz, and now this baby is kicking. Alex and his crew have scoped out UniLoo. Enthusiastic thumbs up, even as they wonder, 5 years from now, will there be enough room for this baby to grow? And last weekend, it's official. For there was a breaking story in the Boston Globe that broke the news that, quote, locally, the floor lords are looking forward to their next major move. A move that Alex's uncle, Lino Delgado, calls the fulfillment of a dream of many years. A floor lord's school opening in Harvard Square at a Lutheran church. Okay, I guess it's true. Nothing is impossible with God. Beloved people, this is really happening, and there is a lot at stake. UniLoo is being spirit-blessed with a great opportunity that comes with great responsibility. For we dare not think of the floor lords as our tenants, ourselves as landlords. Did Mary think of Jesus as a tenant in her body? No, we are being called to host a legacy, and to birth a dream. This is a merry moment, but it's Christmas and Pentecost all wrapped up together. We are living the promise of the Spirit from Acts chapter 2. We are where young will see visions, and the old will dream dreams. Okay.
Amen.